And now,
you are listening live.
Handoff, Kennedy McCoy cuts it back inside. He's at five, heading to the end zone. He's in, touchdown! Drops, throws, has a man. Ball caught Jennings. Gary Jennings breaks the tackle. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Gary Jennings! And it is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
By Goddard. Welcome to another episode of the Smoking Musket Podcast. I am Bart Keeler, recording from just outside the heart of college football. And my co-host tonight is the site manager for www.smokingmusket.com, Mike Miller. Mike, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does Virginia Tech suck?
Oh, they're a solid 11. And it may be controversial for me to say this, but I hit on it last week, and I'll dive into it more later. I hate Virginia Tech more than I hate. And that's not to say I don't hate Pitt. It's like a 1A and 1B situation.
Like which
and
child Hokies, do you love more?
Right, and the Hokies just edge out the Panthers.
Well, we are glad that you all are joining us for the first game week of 2017 WVU football season. Obviously, it means more, not SEC, it just means more, but it means a little bit more this week because West Virginia is opening up the 2017 season with a neutral site game against old pal Virginia Tech. Before we get started, welcome to this Blog Talk Radio platform we're using now. We're excited to be part of this network. A lot of SB Nation sites use it, and we're glad we can use this better. You can follow at Smoking Musket on Twitter for daily, I don't even want to say news because most of what we put out isn't actual news. It's just fun things about West Virginia and teams that we hate. We also write a lot of stuff on www.smokingmusket.com that you can check out. You can follow myself, Bart Keeler. You can follow me at ArtsPrime19 on Twitter, and you can follow Mike on Twitter at WestByGod_. We mentioned it's Virginia Tech Hate Week. We're going to bring in a couple of guests. I think a few guests coming up in part two to talk about, reminisce, if you will, about the old times when we used to play Virginia Tech on a yearly basis. But that'll be for part two. For part one, Mike and I will get you acquainted with the Hokies, the 2017 version of the Hokies. And, you know, we'll try to set you up for what you actually need about this game before we start getting into the important stuff. Mike, obviously it's been a long time since we played Virginia Tech. Just, it means something to start these rivalries again, and we get to finally start this new series where we're going to be rivals every so often. What does that mean for the program? Just before we get into anything else, what do you think that means for the program?
It gives us that natural rivalry that we've been missing since we went to the Big 12. Since we went to the Big 12, you know, we lost Pitt, we lost even Louisville, Cincinnati. We have a close team to hate. And it's good to just get this rivalry renewed.
Well, yeah, I mean, we even lost Maryland, who we held on to for a couple years, and we don't have that anymore. So it's nice to have a neighbor to whose yard we can piss on. But you know, we'll talk. Like I said, we'll talk more about the hatred of Virginia Tech. And it's fun. Don't get me wrong here. It is all in good fun. But you know, it's been a while since we played them. So, Mike, what about Virginia Tech jumps off of the paper at you?
The fact that they're breaking in a redshirt freshman quarterback. That doesn't bode well for him against the 3-3-5 defense. Typically, young quarterbacks have a problem reading the defense, and I think Tony Gibson's going to exploit that.
Well, you mentioned a redshirt freshman starting for Virginia Tech. Like I said, Gerard departs, and they're breaking in a guy. His name is Josh Jackson. He was on campus last year. I mean, he had that red shirt, and he was supposedly kind of in the running for the starting role last season, but ended up going to Evans, and they redshirted Jackson and so her and learned their offense. But like you said, this is his first time seeing any college playing time. It'll be not just, you know, at a neutral site or on the road. I mean, this is going to be in front of 80,000-plus people who – in a game that honestly means more than just an opening weekend game. It's obviously a top 25 matchup. It's a rivalry renewed. It's, you know, a big primetime 7:30 under the lights game. I think that's the big question is how do they replace them? And I don't know about you, but it's not like I see a whole lot of offensive production returning for him to utilize.
Right. I mean, they've got Cam Phillips, who's arguably their best wide receiver. They do have him returning. But other than that, their running back, McMillan, he's returning. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
As far as noteworthy players.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Cam Phillips. He had 5 touchdowns last year, just shy of 1,000 yards receiving. So, you know, he's definitely a threat that Jackson will have to throw to. Trayvon McMillan had 7 touchdowns on the ground last year, but his production wasn't great. He only had less than 700 yards rushing. So, you know, we'll see if he can up those numbers. But he's actually not listed as a starter on the depth chart by most Virginia Tech outlets and by Virginia Tech itself. It's actually a guy by the name of Stephen Peoples, who is a returning player, but he only had 1 touchdown last year, and that was on the receiving side of things. He had 16 total rushes a year. So, you know, I understand that we are young on the defensive side of the ball, but they're not exactly talented. Excuse me. They're not exactly old or experienced on their offensive side. So I'm wondering how that plays into the matchups in this game.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. All offseason we've heard West Virginia's young, they're replacing a lot of talent, that, you know, it's going to be hard for them to beat the Hokies. Well, Virginia Tech's replacing a lot of talent too.
I mean, I hate to compare these two because obviously one has a larger body of work than the other, but, I mean, Virginia Tech, every year after year, you kind of expect them to have a good defense no matter who's returning or what Bud Foster has to work with. Is Tony Gibson at that point yet?
I think he's right there at it. I mean, we've seen over the last couple seasons, going into the season, there's, you know, big question marks about how the defense is going to perform. But he can take what he's given and the talent that he has, and he can do extraordinary things with it. Like, our defense has been far better than it should have been a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that kind of is what we thought of it last year, to be quite honest. I mean, I don't think we thought that the defense would be as, you know, good as it was last year. I'm not going to call it great, but it was a pretty good defense last year. And, you know, I think we can kind of use that as an example where people thought, oh, he's lost a lot of talent. Who knows what he's going to bring back and how they're going to perform. And what do you know? We performed fairly well. So I'm hoping that's kind of the story this year for us.
Yeah, I think it should be. I mean, that's the way it's been trending. So we'll see.
Right. Well, all right. So after we look at West Virginia or at Virginia Tech, I mean, defensively, they're pretty good. We know that. We like we just said. The problem is, I wonder where West Virginia's experience comes in, and I do mean that. I mean, we have a decent amount of experience on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I know that Will Grier is his first year at West Virginia. I get that. But doesn't the fact that he played 6 games as a college starting quarterback in an SEC competition count for anything?
Apparently not, because if you ask or listen to anybody outsider-wise, the only thing they ever say is, well, it was only one game. It was the Ole Miss game that he, you know, had a good game. But he had – those 6 games were good games.
Well, and again, he was playing at Florida. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing pretty well to playing at Florida as a freshman. Right?
Yeah, and he was Florida's offense that year. Because after he was suspended, their offense...
Absolutely. And you've seen Florida's offense be, I don't want to say anemic, but their offense has not been great. I mean, it was a lot improved last year, but after, you know, the year after Will Grier left, but that was still not at the level they needed to be performing at. And we saw what they, you know, what happened to them in Alabama against Alabama last year in the SEC championship game. So, you know, it's funny to think about that and just say that, oh, well, you know, it's one game. Well, he proved to be pretty important to that team.
Yeah, you could say that.
That's all I'm saying. And then, you know, it's funny. Obviously, I kind of live in ACC country here in Atlanta, and the people keep saying, oh, well, Virginia Tech, you know, they're going to be good. But the caveat is always, well, but they've got to break in a new quarterback. And that's the story for every team in their division, by the way. But I'm laughing at him because they want to put all the stock into a team who has an untested quarterback. And quite honestly, a lot of other untested offensive weapons.
Well, there's a thing about this, and we are going to hit on this later. Some of our guests, I know, Virginia Tech has this, or I guess West Virginia has this perception problem compared to Virginia Tech, because Virginia Tech, it seems like they can do no wrong. Like, they can break in a complete team. Like, every, you know, all 22 could be freshmen. And somebody out there is going to say, oh, they're going to be good because they're Virginia Tech.
Well, and
I don't get it, and it makes me mad.
As a West Virginia fan, I think we are all aware that this goes on. You know, I get it. We don't get any respect. You know, this is nothing new. We've all experienced this before. Now, the question I have here that I want to pose to you, and this is, I think, where the biggest question marks about West Virginia come, and we did hit on this, but we do have a relatively new defense, and specifically our defensive front is different. You know, we've got to break in and I don't want to say train, but definitely get a couple of guys to improve to be really effective up front. Our two defensive ends, Adam Shuler and Reese Donahue. Shuler's a redshirt sophomore. Donahue's a sophomore. That's a little concerning, if you ask me.
It is, but they have both seen playing time. And I think a pretty decent amount of playing time. But, yeah, they're young. And that could be something that works against us. They're not as experienced. I mean, Reese Donahue, he seems like he's a good player, like a very good player.
Right.
But it's hard to tell. It's just hard to say at this point.
Now, and I'm going to butcher the name
of the coach tackle. Hold on.
And I'm sorry. I got Kuku last year. You do it this time.
I got this one because somebody in the comments on the article of the preview called me out for not being able to pronounce this player's name. And if he's listening, I'm going to call you out because there's no way you were pronouncing this unless you're related to this kid. There's no way you were pronouncing this way either. Geese, like the bird. Never in a million years would have thought that's how you pronounce that. But according to the roster, that is how you pronounce it. You can go and you can click on the little speaker and it will give you the pronunciation and read it to
Puggies.
You. Puggies.
Yep. So, Xavier Fagis, you know, nose tackle for the West Virginia Mountaineers. There you go. it is. I mean, he's a redshirt senior, so he's been playing college ball at least for a while. You know, I'm confident that he'll get it right sooner than the other two. And quite honestly, I mean, if you want to talk about what matters, you know, most, that nose tackle position is, goes a long way in clogging up the offensive attack. I mean, his job is to take up space, eat one or two blockers, and hopefully give our linebackers a chance to make a play on the running back. So hopefully he's the guy who is the most effective early in the season.
Right, and backing him up is Jaleel Fields, who I believe he might be a sophomore as well. So even behind him, we're young. Like, there's not a lot of depth along the line, and that could be bad for us. I don't know that it will. I think we'll be able to make do with what we have.
Right.
But I guess we'll find out starting Sunday.
Well, yeah, I think a little bit of it is make do with what you have. And Virginia Tech's offensive line is fairly experienced, mostly seniors and juniors across the board. So, you know, they should understand what their roles are and what their jobs are and certain blocking schemes and coverages. But still, the 3-3-5 is a little bit of a different animal for, you know, any defense to or any offense to understand. So maybe that's a saving grace to us as well.
Right. I think that's one – I'm not going to say it's a big positive on our side, because our defensive line
right.
is young. But, again, they are breaking in a spring quarterback against an odd front defense that he hasn't seen hasn't seen a lot
yeah.
of.
Yeah, and an odd defensive back formation. I mean, those five D-backs aren't necessarily all defensive backs all the time, especially
right.
by, you know, a guy named Kazir White.
Yeah, at any moment he could go from,
you know,
safety.
He's a headhunter.
Linebacker, yeah.
Right. You know, that's literally the nature of his position. So, you know, that'll hopefully give him some different looks as well. On our side of the offensive ball, I mean, we talked about Will Greer a lot. He's obviously the new guy. Our offensive line, in my opinion, is going to be just fine. Yadni Kajus, you know, Matt Davis is a question mark at center, but Kajus comes back, you know, as he was injured last year. He now moves to the right side. You know, other than that, there's no one I don't really think you could consider new on the offensive line. So I'm pretty solid there. I don't know. Do you have any questions about the offensive line?
No, the one thing that kind of stuck out to me on the depth chart that was released, we've got Kelby Wickline on as backup at left tackle and right tackle.
Yes.
So
yeah.
does that mean that no other tackles? Like, I don't like having a guy listed twice as a
yeah.
backup.
Yeah, especially on the offensive line. That's not, you know, it's not great. But yeah, maybe that's just because he's the coach's son.
It might be. And he might be just really good.
We'll go with that. We'll just say he's really good.
That works for me.
And then, you know, we don't need to spend too much time on all of our returning starters because we do want to get these other guys in. But, you know, we've got returning wide receivers, Gary Jennings, Caron White. We've got a plethora of returning running backs. You know, Crawford, McCoy, Pedway, I'm really confident. Actually, I think they're going to be the guys who win the game for us.
Yeah, I think this is – it's. I feel like it's going to be the Justin Crawford show on Sunday.
I hope so.
I think
– I mean,
I
Oklahoma
think he's going to have a
– Oklahoma was.
I think we're going to see maybe something similar to that. I know if you ask a Virginia Tech fan, they're going to say their linebackers are going to be able to shut him down. I don't think they are. I don't think they understand how good Justin Crawford is. And then if you're Crawford and Kennedy McCoy and Pettaway from the backfield, it's going to keep them on their heels because they're not going to know what to expect, really.
Well, and that's the thing is our looks on offense are very different from what they're seeing. I'm sorry, the ACC is not the most offensively dynamic, especially in the ACC Coastal. I mean, look, I also saw what a team who can run the ball effectively can do to Virginia Tech. You know, you ask Georgia Tech, and I know that's very different, but they weren't exactly great at stopping the run against Georgia Tech, but whatever. Also, that was a weird game because Georgia Tech actually threw the ball for a decent amount of yards, but whatever. point being, I think that we're going to have, from a West Virginia standpoint, we're going to have a decent – I think we'll have more chances to score than Virginia Tech.
I think so. I think our defense is going to come up with a couple turnovers and help us out. And it's going to leave us
yes.
into their territory and give us more options or opportunities
yes.
To put points
I think
on.
Field position will be paramount in this game, mainly because Virginia Tech with a young offense, do you really want a young offense to have to go 80 yards down the field? So I think field position really will determine this game, because if West Virginia can get short field, we've got more offensive weapons. You know, if we can turn those short field opportunities into touchdowns quickly, I like our chances. Because I think both defenses are going to be all right. I think they're both going to be well equipped for this game. So I think field position will determine the outcome.
Yeah, I think defenses will be about even. But we have the upper hand on offense, and there's no denying that.
Yeah. No, I don't. I think you're right. You know, before we go any farther, because we could talk about this all day, we do want to be able to bring in our new guys. Well, not new guys, our guests, if you will, on the show. So, you know, just a last thought about the Virginia Tech game. It's fun to have a rivalry back. Obviously, you know, being the only game on Sunday is really awesome. So I'm excited for that. Mike and I will both be in Landover that day. Mike and I are both going to the game. We've got a couple other Musket Riders who will be going to the game. So we're very excited for this. If you're there, hit us up. We'd love to share a beer with you, or just, you know, take a selfie, whatever you want to do. You know, we'll meet up with you and say, hey, we appreciate the support that you guys give us. So with that, you know, let's have a quick break, and then we'll be back and we'll talk in part two with some special guests to the Musket podcast. So stick around for part two.
I wrote this song about you. I wrote this song about you. Just to let you know that I hate your guts and I think you suck. I wrote this song about you. I wrote this song about you. Just to let you know that I hate your guts and I think you suck. I hate the way you look.
You make me sick.
I hate the way you talk.
I wanna punch you in the face.
I can't stand you at all.
You drive me insane.
Why won't you go away? I wrote this song about you. I wrote this song about you. Just to
bye, Goddard. Welcome back to part two of the Smoking Musket podcast. I am excited to talk with every single person we have on the line right now. A lot of just West Virginia history knowledge is going to come out as we talk about the West Virginia-Virginia Tech rivalry. Joining us.
Oh, my God, I miss this so much. I miss this so much. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just got nostalgia. It's so good.
And already stepping on my toes because he thinks he still runs this thing is David Smith, SmithFile13 on Twitter, our good pal and friend of the show. He writes for the Smoking Musket. So he's joining us, David Smith. And then also we've got from West Virginia Metro News, Randy Jerko, who you can follow him at Goose Jerko, GYORKO, just in case anyone can't spell that. And then
you got it right.
Very excited to it happens when you put things in front of my face, I can read. Also with us is Brandon Phoenix of Raspy Voice Kids, who they just put out really funny content. Let's just put it that way. It's hilarious. They have podcast videos. They're great. So we've got Smitty, we've got Randy, we've got Brandon, and also Mike is here as well. So, gentlemen, thank you all for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on. Oh, follow Brandon at I Also Hate Pitt, lowercase p, on Twitter, which you also hate Pitt, but you also hate Virginia Tech. I think that's why we're all here tonight. So, first question that I'm going to ask everybody, what about Virginia Tech annoys you the most? Smitty, your answer.
Ooh. I think it's the fact that they have zero national championships and they think they're just as good as anybody else.
Okay, that's fair.
No, okay, let me clarify that. They have zero national championships in anything. That's the thing. We also have zero national championships in football. They don't have national championships in anything. That's amazing.
This is true.
Like, UMass might not have national championships in anything, but they just fired up their football program. Like, that's excusable. Like, Virginia Tech has been around for a while. Like, there's been Hokies around here for quite a while. And they've been at least second place for quite a while. And, by the way, I'd like to shout out that national championship game. I was really happy about it. I'm very happy that Mike Vick could not get a national title. Very happy.
We're not talking about Mike Vick on this podcast. I still have a lot of feelings about Mike Vick as a Falcons fan. So we might
Me too.
Have to limit that.
And they're all terrible.
Randy, what is the thing that annoys you most about Virginia Tech?
Oh, God, the most? Their
yes.
colors? I mean,
sure.
Orange and brown is just a hideous combination. There's no way you can make it look good. The fact that their mascot is a castrated turkey, I hate that too. It's super sucky. I hate the Vick brothers. I hate the fact that Blacksburg tries to be Morgantown, but they fail. So they're just a small list.
Well, I'm sure that will grow and we'll expand on that as it goes. Brandon, your turn. Your most annoying thing about Virginia Tech.
Well, you know, I got a lot because we did a whole video called Why We Hate Virginia Tech. Okay, so if you're not sure, you can see there like exactly what it is. But the biggest thing for me is they talk a lot, but they don't do a lot. And then the nation responds as if they're something when they're nothing. So, we have more All-Americans than them. We have more all-time wins than them. We lead the series, and yet ESPN and the rest of mainstream media, as far as sports is concerned, would have you believe that they're superior to us. And there's no question. They stole our logo. At least the style of the logo. They're often imitators. They are never duplicators. And then they basically, for lack of a better word, are just border rivals. I mean, there's no question about that. So just a natural rivalry on top of all the other synthetic manufactured things I just talked about them fabricating.
I absolutely agree with all that. If I can step in real quick, because I'd like to change my answer. I apologize. I just realized this was a layup. I'm really sorry, Bart. You set me up really well. It's absolutely Buzz Williams. Of course it is. It's Buzz Williams. Buzz Williams is the worst. It's Buzz Williams.
What about when Buzz Williams danced to Country Roads on our court? Did that?
Oh, no. That's included. We're all aware of history. We all know. This goes back to Marquette. Like,
yes, I was going to say, I know that was Marquette, but still, that counts.
He's like, listen, man, like, I have a long-dated history with Buzz Williams personally that I actually should write an article about. I really should do that. But I just don't like the man. He's the worst person on earth. Worst person on earth.
These are facts.
Well, Art Briles has something to say.
Did I stutter?
He can be number two. That's fine.
That's fair.
So yeah, there you go. So Buzz Williams, the colors, the fact that they're close. You know, Mike and I were talking about this on the first part of this podcast. There's a lot of hate for Virginia Tech because, unlike, you know, the West Virginia Pitt rivalry, they're close, obviously, you know, what, 70 miles apart, but there's a larger population in that Charleston and southern part of the state that just abhors Virginia Tech. And, you know, we've only played them. Look at that. It's like I went to WVU to get a degree in journalism or something.
Greatest damn institution in the land.
So true.
I thought a boar was an animal.
Know. No.
Wow. you know, it's funny when we can talk about these things and laugh, but the problem is there are people from Virginia Tech who don't know why that's funny. So other than the fact that they pretend that they're Morgantown and their city is really in the middle of nowhere more than ours is, you know, specifically on a football field, we don't have the Black Diamond Trophy. And I think that to me is really annoying. And, you know, Mike you live close, very close to Blacksburg. You know, do their fans remind you of that ever?
Sometimes. It seems like they've kind of forgot about it recently. I think they think they're better than that now. They're above the Black Diamond Trophy.
Right, so they can beat on Virginia?
Right. I'm an hour and a half away from Blacksburg, and it takes me about 3.5 hours to get to Morgantown. So I'm right in no man's land, basically, because they're – I mean, most of the people around here are still West Virginia fans, but there is a pretty big segment of Virginia Tech fans. Maybe not as much as it used to be. I don't know why. I haven't – I remember when I was in, like, middle school, the Virginia Tech-West Virginia game was, like, a big thing. People would come to school with their face painted and stuff. Like, that was so hardcore. Actually, funny story. I remember a girl, I think she was, like, a year below me, and I guess when she was getting that morning, she had little Virginia Tech logo stickers or whatever, little tattoos, and she went to put them on her face. But she was looking in the mirror, and she managed to put it on backwards somehow. So she walked around all day with their logo backwards. Like,
she's just a really big fan of TV.
Right, yeah.
Hey, real quick. Okay, but I have to actually, unfortunately, I have to go. I just want to say, everybody, I miss you very much, both listeners and everyone on here. I want to talk to all of you a little bit more, especially the guys I just met. But I miss you all. Bart, I miss you. Mike, I miss you. Bart, I will see you this weekend.
I will see you this weekend. You're right. Brian, I can't get here soon enough.
You bet you're at.
Wait, all right, kids.
Have a hell of a show. What's up?
Wait, you have to do it.
That's what?
Smitty, you do
you
it.
Have you have to do it.
Do what? But,
the final.
Oh, okay. So I think it's going to be 27-24 West Virginia covers. How about that?
All right.
I love that, but I meant Bob. I meant your signature saying at the end of your sign.
Oh, Bob. I'm so sorry. It's such a good call. Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. Have a hell of a show, kids.
Thanks, Smitty. David Smith, everyone, you can follow him on Twitter at SmithFire13. He occasionally writes for us, more so than anything. He just provides us with good humor on the musket. So we still got Brandon. We still got Randy. We still got Mike. Guys, we haven't played them since 2005. We're going on 12 years now that we haven't seen, you know, the maroon and orange on a football field against us. But do you think there's any love lost between our fan base and theirs?
No, that's where
chance.
The heat is. That's where the heat is. If you look at, on Facebook, there's a WVU versus Virginia Tech SmackDown. There's room where people talk trash, and that's where all of the heat is. The players don't know. They were children the last time this game was played, and a lot of them are not from Virginia or West Virginia. You got a lot of guys from Florida and elsewhere, so they don't know about this rivalry. It's all about us. It's all about the guys left on the coaching staff who know. That's where the real fire, that's where the real energy is.
100% correct. The fans still hate each other. They still live beside each other. They still got to – I mean, Virginia Tech's in the ACC. A lot of West Virginia fans wish we were in the ACC, so they got that going on. The fact that they get to play Pitt and Syracuse and Boston College and Miami all the time, and we're playing Kansas State and Iowa State. Yeah, 100% the fans are still 100% behind it. And like he just said – The players don't know. I mean, they haven't had that healthy, you know, hatred like there was back in, you know, say 2002, 2003 at the height of it. But, yeah, the fan bases are still 100% into it.
Well, I mean, Mike talked about it. He's still really close to the Virginia Tech fan base. Living in Georgia, I get to see Virginia Tech a lot because I'm a Georgia Tech fan as well. So, you know, they play each other in football and they play each other in all these other sports. So, I still get that healthy hatred of Pitt and Virginia Tech at least once a year, which is great. But, you know, it's funny that we're playing a rivalry to start this season when, you know, when's the last time we had a real rivalry game against anybody, you know? And I feel like that has helped, at least maybe the fans, I hope it's helping the players to get more prepared for the 2017 season. Do you think that has any effect on how they prepared, not just for this game, but the season as a whole?
I don't personally think it's had any effect on how they're preparing. I think you put it out in front of the kids that this game means a lot to the fans, that there is a traveling trophy. It's a Black Diamond trophy, which is paying homage to something so important to our state, which, of course, is the coal industry and coal itself. But I think when you're looking at the first game of the year, kids just want to hit somebody who's not wearing the same color as them. I think kids just want to get out there and play. Yeah, they want to get out there and play. They're ready to knock somebody's head off. They're ready to show what they've been working on all off season. I think that's the most important thing. I really don't think it has any impact on the preparation for the season. The truth of the matter to me is this is a gift wrap present to the fans of West Virginia University football and to the Virginia Tech Hokie fan base.
Right. Yeah. I think more the fact, and we talked about this on our show on Monday, the fact that they have a number beside their name, meaning they're ranked in West Virginia. We have a number beside our name when our rank means more to these guys. The fact that they know, like, this isn't Delaware State. You know, this isn't even Missouri from last year. Like, this is legit. Like, you have to be ready. And the fact that after this, you know, there's East Carolina, Delaware State, Kansas, and a bye week, which means if West Virginia wins this game, you're going to be 4-0 when you go to TCU, which means you're probably going to jump up, you know, at least, what, 6-7 spots if you beat Virginia Tech. And you're just going to keep moving up, which means you're going to be top 10. And all of a sudden, you've got momentum and you've got buzz around the program as you start the Big 12 thing. And if you lose, you don't play anybody after that. So your chances of getting back into the top 25 before that TCU game are nothing. So it doesn't really mean much other than, you know, if you think this team's going to the college football playoffs, and I'm going to tell you right now, they're not. But
how dare you?
You can compete to a Big 12 championship, and this game doesn't mean anything. Yeah. But, man, it means a lot for program momentum through the first month of the season.
It's interesting though. Well, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to agree. Like, you know, the number beside the name, I think, does mean a lot. And we've had 3 years in a row where we've opened up with – I mean, I know Missouri wasn't ranked, but when we scheduled them, we thought they would be better than what they were last year. So, you know, this is 3 years in a row that we've had a pretty decent game to start our season with. As a fan, that's pretty cool. So that's all I wanted to point out on that. Brandon, you obviously – get to talk about this for you know, you talk about this a lot as much as we do. From a player perspective, though, what do you think that it means to have a new leader, Will Greer, leading you out on the field this year?
It's a huge deal. I think the guys like Skylar Howard, and I mean no disrespect to him, so I'm not going to say anything that will be disrespectful. Because normally people say, I mean no disrespect, and then they say something really disrespectful. I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to say to you is Will Greer coming in athletically is far more gifted than Skylar ever was. There's nobody debating that. Players can see that. They saw it last year when he was playing against them on the scout team. And I think that makes the biggest difference because this is not a guy who's coming in as just a transfer playing immediately. It's not a guy coming in as a true freshman, not just experience-wise, but he's had time to build and cultivate relationships, not just with his receivers, but throughout that whole team. And if you listen to the media reports, if you listen to the coaching staff, that's something that he's done, and he's done very well. People believe in him. People are excited to play with him. And people see the upgrade in talent, and I think that's got to excite you. It's the kind of thing, you know, we talk about often about players who make people around them better. So far in the locker room, on the practice field, in the off-field activities, Will Greer has made people dedicated and motivated. And these guys look like they are ready to go. Even Coach Don Nealon, who was at a recent practice, said he's never seen somebody put it in the basket on a deep ball the way that Will Greer does. And, of course, we call him Mountain Greer because, you know, we expect him to be on Mount Rushmore. He looks like a mountain man.
Looks like
We expect him to be on the Mount Rushmore by the time it's all – the WVU Mount Rushmore by the time it's all done. But I think the players are excited to play with a guy of his caliber, especially with all the talent we have returning on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
I hope you mean when you say he looks like a mountain man that what you mean is he's really, really sexy, because that's accurate.
Of course.
I'll let y'all discuss what y'all mean by that, okay?
Well, I mean, he's got a beautiful wife and kid, too. I mean, that certainly helps his image. But, I mean, Randy, to that point, though, both teams are breaking in a new quarterback. Why is our situation different? Why is Virginia Tech at more of a disadvantage?
because people have seen Will Grier before, even if it was a four-game mini sample, it was still at Florida. You mentioned the Missouri team that West Virginia scheduled. He beat that Missouri team where they had, you know, Michael Sam
yeah.
and, you know, other Coney Ealy and guys that are in the league, you know, or were SEC players of the year. Like, he actually did it against teams like that. And
yeah.
the fact that he was highly touted, I mean, he was the Gatorade National High School Player of the Year. I mean, this isn't just, you know, like, this isn't Skylar Howard coming from junior college or some redshirt freshman, you know, to dip back into what's it like Rashid Marshall, who was awesome. But, you know, he didn't have – people didn't know kind of what he could do. Like, everybody
right.
has seen Will Grier play, even if it was a small sample size. They've known about him for a long time since he was in high school. They saw it with their own eyes. And just the fact that he's obviously not going to be intimidated because he's played in SEC atmosphere and he's kind of had that thrust upon him for a long time. Whereas Jackson for Virginia Tech, I didn't even know the kid's last name until like last Thursday.
That, yeah.
So no one knows anything about him. And people in Blacksburg probably do because they could say, yeah, well, he redshirted and he did this and he did that. But nobody knows what to expect. They've actually seen Grier.
Right. Well, and both – I mean, let's put it this way. Both players redshirted last year. I mean, that's what Will Grier was able to do. We all know that the redshirt year can benefit a player, especially a quarterback, when it comes to learning a system. And we all know that Dana and now Spavital's system isn't the most user-friendly, if you will. Do you think that there will be a learning curve for Grier, or is it just going to be a natural kind of progression that we'll see from him?
I think he's learned it. I mean, he's a coach's kid. That's a huge advantage, something that Dana
you're
always
right.
talks about.
You're right.
Dana talks about that being so important. He likes to recruit kids who were coaches' kids or who are coaches' kids. Will Grier is a sharp man who comes from his father's tutelage, who's played in this system for an entire year, running the scout team, even though, of course, he's running the other offenses at that point. But he's learned the terminology. He's learned the timing.
Right.
And he's also built a rapport specifically with Gary Jennings and David Sills and, to a lesser extent, Karan White. So I think he'll be fine.
To add to that, everybody remembers a couple years ago when Clint Trickett was, you know, when he graduated from Florida State and transferred, he didn't get the option of the redshirt year. He had to play.
Right.
And then Dana talked about how he's just not there with the terminology. He's just not there with the checks. We don't give him a lot of freedom because he just isn't there yet. And he's a lot like Grier. Obviously, son of a coach, been around the game, super smart, amazing
great hair.
Great hair. Right. amazing hair. But so Grier had the ability to do what Clint Trickett did, except he did not have to do it on Saturdays in front of everyone and learn on the fly. He
right.
got to learn through practice. He got to learn the system. He got to set back. He got to see what Skylar did. He got to be there, learn the checks, kind of see what the offense, what its positives were, what its negatives were. When you got into this play, where should you look? And now that second year under Trickett, we went down and played Alabama. Now, granted, he had Kevin White and Mario Alford, but he was in total control of that offense until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was a
yeah.
totally different quarterback. And that's what I'm expecting from Grier, is the fact that he should know the checks. He should know where everyone is. He should be able to see the mismatch and get guys into spots where they can win against their guy and make plays.
Well, I mean, that's my hope too, is that this year has helped him become smarter, grow as a quarterback. Because even as a freshman, I thought he was doing all the things you wanted from a seasoned quarterback. And I think that goes to his coach's kid upbringing. But, you know, I think for me, the advantage he has is, when's the last time Josh Jackson played in front of 80,000 people? You know,
never.
Will
yeah.
Grier's done it. Will Grier's done it.
Yeah.
You know, for
this
specific game, I think that helps.
You guys are talking about checks. That's one of the things about Skylar Howard that was underappreciated, that Dana went out of his way to praise him for, is that
yes.
he was able to get us into the right play, whether
yep.
even if it was a running play. Even
yep.
if he wasn't able to athletically do what you might want to happen on that play, Skylar knew what we should be in. He could get
yep.
us there. And that was, of course, in his second season running that offense. So
right.
I think
right.
you're going to see a guy who steps right in and is going to be a well-oiled machine. I really do. And I will be – frustrated or worried, I should say, if we don't see that right away, even though Virginia Tech has a legitimately serious defense.
Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to talk about next is Virginia Tech. We said their offense, I mean, they're not returning a whole lot on offense in general. They've got a running back who played last year who isn't even listed as a starter on the depth chart right now. They've got a wide receiver who hauled in 5 touchdowns, and he was a couple of yards shy of 1,000 yards. So he's pretty good. We get Cam Phillips. We get that. But, you know, defensively, at least if you look on paper, they're returning a lot of talent and a lot of production. How does experienced West Virginia offense deal with that?
Well, they were the number 18 defense in the nation last year.
Right.
They were returning 80% of that production.
Yeah.
You got guys like Adonis Alexander, which, by the way, if you name your kid Adonis, Thor, Hercules, you're putting a lot on an infant. They better be good.
They better be big.
They better be tough. So for Adonis' family, it turned out okay. But you got Adonis Alexander. You got Faison coming back in that secondary. You got Tremaine Edmonds as that linebacker. We got Big Timmy Settle, who played us like a fiddle during the recruitment on the defensive front.
Yeah.
So this defense could be one of the best in the nation. It definitely will be a top 25 defense. Probably has a good chance of being top 10. So I don't care how good you are on offense. When you play a defense that is as stout and as athletic and that is being called by Bud Foster like this one is, you're not going to be able to do what you are going to expect to do against Texas Tech.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I agree. I'd also like to add that if Adonis's parents have another child and it's not named Maximus, that they should be killed like Littlefinger. they should be embarrassed publicly and they should have their throat slashed.
How is it that I can make sure I am not party to any of the statements that are made about murdering people? Is there like a form I can fill out?
All Randy Jericho. The Smoky Musket has nothing about that. Raspy Voice Kid has nothing to do with that. That is all West Virginia Metro News and Randy Jericho.
But to add to the defense thing real quick. The one hope as a positive for West Virginia is that while they do return a ton of people, they do not return a lot of defensive line experience,
right.
Which is where, you know, Dana had talked in his, you know, all week for the last couple of weeks about how he thinks this Virginia Tech defense is better than that Miami defense that West Virginia played in the bowl game. The problem with that was the Miami front four could not be blocked by West Virginia.
Literally.
The hope is that they will not wreak havoc like that to the point where if Bud Foster wants to get pressure, then they have to blitz. And that's where it allows West Virginia, that's where it allows Wilker to make checks to see the blitz and then to get some one-on-one coverage. If Tech's able to get pressure with four, their secondary and their linebackers are absolutely legit, and they will be a problem.
Well, I mean, this is kind of Mike and I's thought is we have – 3, maybe 4, depending on how many actually suit up for game day, running backs who aren't just running backs. I mean, I think that's where we're going to have the advantage is that we have 3 to 4 guys who can probably go at them from different looks and hopefully wear down, as you mentioned, their defensive line and then hopefully their linebackers as well. That's where I see us getting the most success. I actually don't think we'll pass for a whole lot of yards this game, but I think we could see Crawford getting to 250. If we're going to win this game. That's
250.
If we're going to win.
250.
Yeah. If we're
rushing
gonna win,
or all purpose?
He needs to do that. All purpose. But if we're going to win, he needs to do that. That's my opinion. All purpose yards.
You're putting a lot on that, man.
Hey, I think he can handle it, okay? I think he can handle it. I think Justin Crawford is going to come back with a point to prove.
He's a stud. I believe he can do it. He's a stud.
I don't know. That's where I think. I think that our running game should be better and be able to counteract everything they want to do defensively in terms of putting pressure on our quarterback. Because like you said, all right, you want to blitz? Well, we can do a draw player. We can run a split screen to our running back. So that's where I kind of see the difference being is our stable of running backs. But we'll move on a little bit more to the atmosphere outside of the stadium. I know I'm going, Mike's going, Smitty's going. All right, are y'all going to the game?
I'm going.
Me and my brother, awesome.
Me and my co-host and brother Jeremy will be there. We'll be there with my dad and my brother Mike.
No, I'm not going.
Well, what good are you? Why are you on this thing?
I'm not going, man. I ain't going to that.
I'm
married. I got 2 kids. I'm trying to stay married.
I got two kids, man. I got two kids, and I take care of my kids, and they're going to be with they're going to be taken care of while I'm at the game for the weekend. And listen, if anybody, if y'all are looking for me, we'll be in section 135. I think it's row 11. We'll be tailgating in the orange lot. So find us. RBK will be there.
So I want to point
I'll
that
be drink,
out. So
I'll be drinking High Life on a couch.
Wow. When I was looking for parking, because I got on the parking bandwagon late, I forgot to get that until like August. I went on to look for parking, right? They didn't have any West Virginia parking left, but they had tons of Virginia Tech parking left. So I'm wondering if that'll play into the fan atmosphere at the stadium. I'm hoping that will anyway.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because the first rumor I heard was that Virginia Tech has – well, I know Virginia Tech sold their allotment first.
Right.
And then we sold ours out later, so then people were speculating that maybe they were buying our tickets. But then, like you said, the lots weren't sold out in that same pattern, so it made it seem like maybe West Virginia had the advantage. So I am very curious to see – I'm very curious to see how that all shakes out because I'd love for us to be basically the home team if we can get that. You know, the Pride's going to be opening the game, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There's nothing like that making the state outline
right
there.
You want to get fans pumped up. You want to get West Virginia fans pumped up for a game. Have the Pride open and then know that we're playing Virginia Tech. Like that brings back a lot of nostalgia, a lot of memories for people that I don't know if we can fathom how that will affect our fan base on our half of the stadium.
Well, the other thing is you can give us some moonshine. That's another thing that'll help.
Smitty said he's not bringing anything on that, Adam.
Maybe all the Virginia Tech people were call paroling or taking a bus, which can only be good for everyone else because the less amount of Virginia drivers on the road, the safer everyone else.
Well, and we're going to be surrounded by Maryland drivers while we're there. Landover, Maryland. I'm telling you. Oh, well. Last couple questions. I mean, I appreciate you all coming out. Again, we've got Brandon Phoenix from Raspy Voice Kids. You can follow him on Twitter. At I also hate Pitt lowercase p.
Follow Raspy Voice Kids too.
Yes, follow at Raspy Voice Kids. Yes, they are hilarious. I think that's the best way. Y'all are fun. Like y'all are one of those accounts that it's fun to follow because you're gonna laugh. And I think that we need more of that in this world and in college football because some people take it too seriously. It's all fun.
You're right. People do. But thank you for saying that.
Well, it's fun. I mean, I enjoy it. And you can follow Randy from West Virginia Metro News at Goose Jerko, GYORKO. So there you go. Last couple questions here. Firstly, do you have like a memory from a Virginia Tech game that like just stands out in your mind?
Oh God, yeah, a lot. I mean, I got plenty. I remember going and watching the game, and I want to say this was in 1998, but I'm not positive about that, when Lee Corso pronounced on College Game Day that Ken Oxendine of Virginia Tech was going to run all over West Virginia and that Amos Theraway wouldn't be able to do anything. And they came here, and Amos ran wild. Oxendine did nothing. And this drunk dude that sat behind me and my uncle and my cousin just kept screaming, "Hey, Corso, what happened to the Ox? Give me the Ox. What happened?" And he did it for 3 hours straight the entire game. So that was great. And then my fondest memory is obviously of the 2002 game in Blacksburg. My brother played in that game. It was the game that kind of set off the entire Rich Rodriguez era, in my opinion. They were ranked. It was on that Wednesday night. It was absolutely nuts. I was there with friends. We were drunk. We were screaming. West Virginia won. I tried to storm the field. A Virginia State trooper poked me with his baton in the butt and told me that you three have been nothing but trouble the entire night because we were in the front row and that if I jumped on the field that I was going to be taken to jail. So I obviously did not go on the field. And then we went to the parking lot and continued partying with everybody. Every West Virginia fan that was there was drinking, hooting and hollering. And then I remember calling my friends back here. And all they kept telling me was that Morgantown is on fire.
Well, sounds right.
Yeah. My first Virginia Tech WVU game recollection, is that what you're asking?
Fondest, whatever story you want to share.
I'll share this story. This is one of my favorites. My brother, who's my co-host, who's not here, and my other brother, who comes on only when we want to talk about whether or not Stevie Wonder is blind, they both were with me because, just so you know, he's not blind. But anyway, because that's on – that, by the way, that whole segment is on the Why We Hate Virginia Tech episode of the Raspy Boys Kids on YouTube, so you have to watch that. But anyway, we're in the hospital.
Did he look at the eclipse?
I'm sure he did. But he had to use a welder's mask because he didn't want to lose his vision. But anyway, so we're in the hospital because my aunt is dying. My dad's aunt is dying. And she helped to raise my dad. And her kids were like my dad's siblings. Even though they were first cousins, they were closer than that. We're all in the hospital. We know she's going to die. And, of course, it's a solemn occasion. It's a sad occasion. People are in from all over. And my brothers... We had season tickets for the, I think it was 2000. What game was the pepper spray game? What year was that?
2003.
My brothers look at me, and we're all trying to figure out if we're going. Well, my dad is definitely not going to go. And I'm waffling. I'm not sure if I'm, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I shouldn't go. I should stay here with the family. And my brothers look at me without even flinching, and they say, she would have wanted it this way. And they leave. And they leave and they go to the game. And of course, it's amazing, 28-7. My brother said the moment he saw Kevin Jones come on the field, all cocky, waving at the student section, the fans, telling them, you know, to make more noise, that they knew we were going to win. And of course, you know, they storm the field, the pepper spray rains down. My brother Mike is the greatest. Like, he could be a spy. He can get anywhere. He gets on stage places. He gets into private parties. And this, on this occasion, he gets all the way back to the lock, to the weight room before, and like, he's partying with the players before people look around and are like, what are you doing here? Who are you? And the answer, of course, is nobody. So somebody grabs him and throws him out of the weight room. I watched it at the hospital, and I like to think that it was God's grace that smiled on us because I stayed faithful to my aunt, despite my brother's callous heart. I don't know who did the right thing. I really don't know who did the right thing.
That was the right thing. That was the
– yeah.
Now, that's
that was the amazing game where West Virginia wore blue pants for the first time in school history that game, and I'd been drinking Wild Turkey all day, and I did not realize that we had blue pants on until the third quarter.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, I'll tell you, that was my favorite game, but my favorite moment, of course, is Grant Wiley over the pile hitting Lee Suggs. I mean, you can't beat that.
Well, I mean, I got to be honest. When we stopped playing them in 2005, I was only 16, so I mean, my memories are all very recent. I do remember talking to a former Virginia Tech player and standout by the name of Michael Vick a lot. So I have mixed feelings about him. But Mike, I mean, I know you. Mike, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm just enjoying.
You obviously being very. I bet you are being very close. Have some memories, but. What are you looking forward to most about this particular matchup for you personally?
I'm looking forward to what you get when you're in the stadium and looking across the field and there's a sea of maroon and orange and you just feel the hate flow through you at that point. And it becomes fun. It's fun to hate them.
Yes. That's excellent. That's the truth.
I don't think we've had that.
I'm looking forward to like wanting to feel like John Wick watching a football game.
Oh wow!
I want to kill them. I want to embarrass them. I want to flip the trend. I want to steal their dog. I want to steal their car. Like it's been a long time. Like I don't hate Texas. They're annoying. Oklahoma's annoying. I don't hate them. I hate Virginia Tech. I want to feel that again. I want to beat them more than anything.
I agree.
What I'm looking forward to is it's the season opener. We haven't had football for way too long, so I'm ready for the games to begin. I'm glad we're fighting for the Black Diamond Trophy because it belongs in Morgantown. Anybody with half a brain knows that. we care about the rivalry. We will always care about the rivalry. It will always be important to us. In my opinion, it will never be on the same level as Pitt, but it's a huge deal for us and our state and our team. I'm excited to get into FedEx Field parking lot and to be with Mountaineer Nation. There is nothing like being away from home with Mountaineer Nation. We went to the South Florida game during that 2005 season.
Truth.
We didn't have tickets. My cousin was going on vacation. He invited me to go with him and his family, Clearwater, Florida. We decided to drive separate, and on our way, we were going to get tickets and go to the South Florida game, right? Because if we win, we could go to the BCS. So we go to the game. My dad says to me, he's like, I'm like, we're going to tailgate. My dad says, how are you going to tailgate? And I looked at my dad like he was a crazy person. I said, I'm going to wear my Mountaineer stuff. I'm going to have a case of beer, and then my family will take care of me.
Yeah.
And guess what happened?
You had a great time at that.
Exactly that. So in this case, of course, we're a little more prepared because I'm not, you know, a moron. But I can't wait to be with everybody, celebrating, anticipating what should be an awesome game.
Well, that game is going to be on Sunday at 7:30. We're a primetime ABC game. This is the game of the day. A lot of eyes will be on this game, I'm sure. You know, this is one of those bragging rights games for both conferences, I would say, especially the Big 12. We need it. I mean, our conference needs a nice out-of-conference win. But just looking at it, I got to know, I need predictions from each and every one of you. Randy, what's your prediction for this game?
My prediction is what I think Mike said earlier and what he expects I also expect. I expect the offense to come out, and I expect them to look like they're in midseason form. I think they should be in control. I really think for West Virginia to win, they need to score first, force Virginia Tech to not be able to just run the ball, play defense, and make Jackson a little bit uncomfortable and make him think that he has to make plays. Then he makes mistakes because that's what all young quarterbacks do. I think West Virginia holds on. I think they win 30-27. So I would take West Virginia at the +4 and the over.
Wow. Okay. Brandon.
Over-under is 51.5, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that today. Okay, so what was the over? Someone said the over-under for the Michigan-Florida game was 60, and ours was somehow lower than that, and I was really confused. But anyway. That's
60, like six zero
for the. I mean, 16.
Are they playing twice?
Florida, Michigan.
Are they playing a doubleheader?
Yeah,
that's not getting to 60.
Especially
no chance.
Florida has like two people to play offense right now. I mean, what the hell? Anyway, Brandon, your thoughts, predictions, prognostications for this game.
Well, I think there's a combination of things that are going to happen. One, we don't know what we're going to get. This is just Justin Fuente's second year. You got a redshirt freshman quarterback. And because of the rain patterns, the way the prediction is, there should be a lot of rain in Landover, Maryland at some point on Sunday. So I think that slows the game down. So I'm definitely taking the under if I'm a betting man. I think, though, that the better quarterback wins this game. I think we have a better quarterback, and I think our defense is underrated. I think our defense is going to be better than anticipated, even if it takes us a while to get to where we want to be. There's a lot of depth on the defensive line, even if it's not as experienced as it has been in the past for us. The secondary should be lights out, and our linebackers are going to be excellent. And I just think that our strengths are better than their strengths. I think our weaknesses are not as big of a deal as their weaknesses. And I think with the rain and the slop, West Virginia wins 23-19.
Wow. So – interesting scoreline. I can see that happening. I agree with kind of both of you a little bit in that our offense should be at a better level than what their offense should be at. And, I mean, the way that you win a college football game nowadays is you've got to score points. I mean, I know Virginia Tech still wants to play, run the ball, and play defense, but you can't rely on that every time. And I think that we got better talent on offense, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think that goes along. I think that goes a long way in deciding a game. Mike, got to have your prediction.
Yeah, I think this one's going to start out slow. I think there's going to be a feeling out process. It might get a little chippy to start out. I don't know if the
yes.
I don't know what's going on in the coaching room. I don't know if they're, I guess, educating them about the rivalry. I have a feeling it is going to get chippy, but I think there's going to be a feeling out process at first. It's going to be slow. I think in the second half, that's when we turn it on. I'm going to say 28-17.
Okay.
I totally agree. Okay. I totally agree with it starting out slow. I think it's going to be like the McGregor and Mayweather fight. People feeling each other out before they start trying to throw haymakers.
West Virginia got to go. Got to be fast, quick.
Yeah, I think I picked. I picked when we originally did this. I think it was 37-31. But then, as Brandon, you said, then I looked at the forecast. I was like, oh, this could be interesting. I still think we'll score in the 30s. I don't know if Virginia Tech will be up that high. I don't know what their offense is going to be. So I'm going to go with 34-27. I think we get a touchdown to win it. I think we win by touchdown. I think it probably ends up coming down to we actually have to hold Virginia Tech off at the end. But I think this is going to be something that we're going to remember for a while, at least until, 2023? That
22, I thought.
I'm not good with math. That we can hang our hats on and we get to take that trophy back home with us. Obviously, we're all West Virginia fans. We all picked West Virginia to win, and we make no bones about that. We have no shame in that. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time here tonight so much. You made this a lot more entertaining than I think I could have ever made it, so I appreciate you guys joining us tonight. Again, what we have here in West Virginia is a lot of fun. We have a lot of great people in our fan base, and you two are great displays of that. You can follow Brandon Phoenix at I Also Hate Pitt under lowercase p, and at Raspy Voice Kids. You can follow Randy at Goose Jerko. And, you know, they put out good content daily. They're good sources of West Virginia entertainment and news and commentary. So, Brandon, Randy, I appreciate you guys so much for coming on with us.
Yeah, man, anytime. I like I told you, I'm a big fan. We listen to Smoky Musket podcast. It's like a family tradition since you guys have been on our way to Morgantown for games when I go with my dad and my brothers. So, you know, thanks for having me on. It's a really, really cool moment for me.
Likewise, man. Thanks for having me. I just want to point out also that I hate Virginia Tech because they now make me hate Metallica, which is really dickish of them. So I hate them for that reason, too.
That's a good reason.
All the reasons to hate Virginia Tech.
That's a good reason. We have a lot of reasons. I also hate Beamer Ball. I hate when people say it, but anyway.
It's a terrible name. Well, luckily he is no longer the coach, and his second head growing out of his neck is no longer coaching, so it's good. you know, hopefully we get a good result against a team with a made-up mascot and, you know, a name that doesn't make sense at all. So, again,
imagine how confused people in imagine how confused people in Blacksburg, Virginia are going to be if they tried to say Fuente Ball. Like they would think it was a Spanish dessert.
Yes. And maybe it will be if the right person hears you say it enough.
Oh, that would be entertaining.
I want money then.
Yeah. I mean,
don't we all?
Let's monetize. Let's trademark this right now. Well,
all right, guys.
Again,
thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Appreciate your time and look forward to chatting with you all in the future. And as always, by Goddard, it's been nice talking to you.
Goodbye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.